life on the road. It's
booze, tacos, angry dwarves, strippers waving guns,
and
fees, fights, canceled flights, running with the runs,
and
blacklists, bounce checks, great, a bachelorette, drunks in the front, making out through your set,
and
middle acts doing blow, more missing merch,
and
drive the rental car past another mega church,
and
juice, keys, vagina, fist, your cell phone is gone, one big Law and Order marathon.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Murray Valeriano, Road Stories Podcast, part of All Things Comedy. I never talk like that when I introduce it. I don't know why.
I like that.
Did you like it?
I think you should start doing it that way.
I'll do it again then if you liked it so much. Hey, everybody. Road Stories Podcast, Murray Valeriano, in your ears. That's what we're doing today. Part of the All Things Comedy Network. I had such a good time recording with Greg Barrett on the couches that I decided to try it again.
We're doing it on the couch.
We're doing it on the couch with Andrew Stanley. We're getting right into it, Andrew. Andrew, you might know, is a comedian.
You probably don't know that.
Well, you will know it after the show. And he is also staying in my guest house.
Yes, thank you again.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for lunch. Lunch was fantastic.
Yeah, I bought Murray lunch, everybody.
Because
big move.
Yeah, well, I let you stay in my guest house for two nights. And got you spots.
Well, I'm going to drive you to the airport in the morning.
Town. Hold on. Let's talk about those spots you missed first.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about how nice you're doing.
I missed the first flight of my life yesterday.
Who?
And I always look down on those people, and now I'm one of them. And I'll never be able to go back to somebody that's never missed a flight.
What happened?
So the gig that I have tomorrow night in Fresno, they booked the flight for me. And the guy told me, I'm not trying to make an excuse. It was my fault. But he told me the time I was going to be arriving. And so in my head, I was like, okay, that must be when the flight leaves. And so I got to the airport in time for the flight I thought I was going to be leaving on. But turns out that it left before I got there.
Was it hard to get another one?
So, yeah, I was in the airport. The next direct one was like 6 hours later. So
did you stay in the airport the whole time?
Yeah, I've got the Delta card thing. So I went to like the club.
Oh, look at me, fancy pants.
It's like $30 for 6 hours. It seemed worth it for free food.
Yeah, definitely. I texted, I got him a spot on the mic at the Improv, and I texted the booker. I'm like, I'm sorry, Andrew missed his flight and won't be able to make the spot. I hope. I don't want somebody to miss their spot because Andrew doesn't know how airlines work.
Exactly. So. Yep. Yep. Sorry to whoever didn't get a spot at the Improv last night.
But you made it in time for the Rec Room.
Yes.
Which is a new venue in town. And we've Dee Burdett, who was on the show not too long ago, she runs the Rec Room now. And I was down there last week, so I called her asked if my friend / I call you my opener. can do a set on the and she said, sure, come on down. And you just made it.
We made it. We made it for the end, and it was great. It's the only comedy club I've been to that has putt-putt. Also, and that was that's a cool spot for sure.
Such a southern thing to say, putt putt,
putt putt. Oh, what do you guys call it? Mini golf.
Mini golf.
Yeah.
And then there's crazy goofy golf in some parts of the world.
They call it goofy golf.
Goofy.
That sounds like the name of one place. Would be
no
goofy
I think
golf.
I think they might have chained.
Okay, chained. Cool.
But putt putt. I haven't heard.
Yeah, putt putt. That's
long time.
That's how we do it. I think maybe that's just my family. Now I'm questioning if other people call it that. Text your vote now.
Yeah. There's that. Andrew's from Atlanta. And there's that. What's that old?
Say pecans.
Pecans. Fixin.
Yeah.
Word you
I
say?
Don't do that.
That's
a stereotype.
Where's that putt putt place in Atlanta I took my kid to when I was there?
Stars and Strikes.
It's on the Stars and Strikes?
I don't know.
That would be bowling, wouldn't it?
I think they do all the stuff there.
Oh, okay. But no, it's on the roof of that building.
Oh, Ponce City Market.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it was all right.
There's not a lot of kids up there, probably, Frank.
No, there's a lot.
Probably the only one.
A lot of beer up there.
A lot of alcohol.
A lot of alcohol, like, a lot of like first dates.
People on like drinking dates.
Yeah. Hey, what do you want to do on our first date? Let's go play putt-putt.
You mean on a roof.
You mean goofy golf? It's not going to work
golf out.
Yeah. So you're obviously a tender. I'm a bumble. That's by the way, I just learned what Bumble was.
Yeah, that's the one where the girl messages first.
Oh, is that the thing?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I heard that.
I didn't. I don't obviously.
My roommate did a Bumble date one time, and he was dropping her off after the date, or I guess they met there, and he was walking her back to her car, and they got back to the parking deck, and she had a flat tire, and he had, like, had to change her tire on the first date.
Oh, really? Well,
and we're like, oh, that's great. And I was like, I bet she flattens her tire before every date, just as a test.
Really?
But that's the only Bumble
the old
he ever did, I think.
The old reaching over and unlocking the door, that's not the first, you know, the first date test where you let the girl into the passenger side? You should.
Tell me.
If mama raised a nice boy, you open the door for the
right.
female.
Yeah, we do that in the South, at least for the first three dates.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, forget it. I haven't opened the door for Mary in 14 years. But that first year, fuck every door, man. Every door. Open.
It's a revolving doors.
But the first date test is when you... This is for dudes. When you you open the door for the girl, she gets in. You wait till she gets in, and then you close the door. And then as you walk around, if she reaches over and unlocks it for you or opens your side for you, she's a keeper.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Like she would... Why would your door not already be unlocked?
Because you just unlocked the... I dated back before.
You dated when you used to have to like stick the key.
Yeah,
when
you
had
to. I still stick the key in the thing. Sorry, I forgot you could open it from your fucking app.
We don't have tests now. The new test is you have to let the air out of your tire.
Okay. Well, then I would never date because I haven't changed a tire. You don't get these almost girl-like hands by changing tires.
Oh yeah.
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 Well, that's what we call AAA. Look into it, millennial. Andrew and I met in. Wait, hold on. First of all. I skipped over something we need to discuss. Yeah. Andrew and I had lunch today.
Yes.
And we went to this great place in Santa Monica called Bay City's Deli's.
And then later we're going to pick up our kid from school.
Yes, and later we're going to go pick up Frank from school, and we'll accept all your congratulations to the gay couple who successfully adopted.
And we got haircuts.
We
got haircuts together.
We got haircuts together.
Next to each other. We held hands. We didn't hold hands.
We did. We got haircuts together.
It felt
together.
Like we were.
We went to... I forgot about that.
The two brothers cut our hair.
We're having a great first Bumble date.
Yeah,
this is basically what's happening.
Yeah, I spent the night.
Yeah, you're going to spend the night tonight because I'm just that good.
Oh, yeah.
And
also, I have no options.
Yes, also. I realized that Andrew has never been in a deli situation before.
Yeah, I've just seen it on like Seinfeld.
What?
I've just seen it on TV.
Yeah, he's never been in a... So we go, it's a deli, and all my East Coast listeners will know, it's a deli. You walk in and you take a number, and then you stand in line, and then they call the number, and then you step up and you give your order. No clue.
Yeah, I had to be coached through it.
The woman in front of us kept looking back like, are they doing a bit? What are they? Are they serious?
Yeah, I felt very vulnerable. Everyone else knew exactly what they were doing.
I've never met anybody who never been in that situation before.
Yeah, maybe we do have them in Atlanta, and I've just never been, but...
All right. I guess maybe we have too many of them in Jersey.
I blame my family.
Oh, we got a lot of talk about your family to blame for this stuff later. So literally, this woman kept turning around, and then the menu is rotating on the screens, and you're just like... Do they have a hard copy of the menu? I can't follow the screens right now.
It was changing so fast.
So we had to find them. We had to find them an actual copy of the menu. And we're in Santa Monica, so people love to print stuff out here. The trees they hug, and then they love to print out paper. So we went through it, and you were 97, and I was 98.
Right.
And the guy was like, 95? No. 96? No. 97? You didn't say anything. 98?
I thought he said 87.
99. And I'm like, whoa, back 97. And then the guy said something. So you're like, what did he say to you? Because he said something after you're like, I'm 97. He's like, well, speak up or something like
that. No, I don't even know. I think I was too flustered to even know what he said.
And then the woman next to us who was watching the whole thing was losing it.
Yeah. Well, I'll know for next time.
All right, well, there's
unless it's another like 20 years, then I'll go through it again.
All right. So
sandwiches were great, though.
Sandwiches were fantastic.
So they didn't do anything to our sandwiches.
Yeah, we'll see. So if you come to Santa Monica, California, go to Bay City's Delis. They're great. I would Google how a deli works before you go, though, because it can be very confusing.
Yeah, just call me. I'll tell you.
So I met Andrew last year when I was in Atlanta.
Yeah, almost exactly a year ago.
Oh, where are we? November?
Yeah, I think it was November.
I think I started going in November, right? Or maybe October.
I wouldn't know that.
Oh, well, you knew November. good guy, young, very white. what else can I describe about you?
I don't know. Those are the main things.
Okay. Oh, and he looks like the lead singer of The Killers.
Oh, yeah. You're the only person that's ever told me that.
Really?
But I love it. I mean, I'll take it.
What's
for
his
sure.
name? I can't remember his name. Terrible front man. Horrible lyricist.
Oh. That feels like you give me less of a compliment now.
No, but it looks great. Okay. All the girls love him.
Cool.
Just don't write songs. What is his name? I forget.
Did he write Mr. Brightside?
Yeah.
That wasn't in college for some reason. That was the song that we would lose it about when it came on. I don't know how that started.
How do you lose it to Mr. Brightside?
It's just when a bunch of white people start jumping up and down and kind of doing their hands waving, like up and I'm podcast hands, but you just had to be there. You had to be in Auburn, Alabama to understand.
Was that first weekend you were there with me and Josh Wolf? Was that your first weekend at the Punchline?
It was, yeah. It was my first weekend at the Punchline. I got it because Josh is friends with my uncle, who was an actor in L.A., I guess, when you guys were coming up.
Uh-huh.
So I had been at the Punchline a lot, but that was my first time hosting.
Oh, cool. And we were there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And this is your first weekend as a paid host at the Punchline. And you weren't going to do Saturday night so you could go watch an Auburn football game.
I had tickets to the Auburn-Georgia game that's like an hour and a half away. And I think the emphasis shouldn't be on that I almost skipped the gig. It's that I didn't skip the gig. And I had tickets.
Well, you were going to.
I had a chance to go to the game. It ended up being a great game. I still don't know what the right decision was.
All right. The right decision. This is what I told you. This is what I told you. Andrew
right.
was very
Murray's
nice.
Murray's right.
Andrew, I haven't even said what I was right yet. Andrew would pick me up and take me to the Punchline because I was staying at the hotel.
Yeah.
So we would talk back and forth. And he told me he wasn't going to do Saturday night because he was going to a football game. And I said something like, hey, man, I don't know you. I'm not your agent or anything. But if you're starting to get hired at the Punchline and you're not going to do a Saturday night to go see a football game, you might want to just maybe not go see the football game.
Good advice.
Yeah.
They had me back.
Are you still working there?
Yeah. We're doing
all right. Murr knows what he's talking about.
Do that. You're my coach now. Comedy coach Murray.
Unfortunately, I haven't been back. I don't know what happened.
Have you been to any football games?
No, not you. I should really. Those Saturday nights I have off. Actually, the Punchline treats me very well. They had me there every time I was in Atlanta. I either would headline an off night or do a weekend or, yeah.
Yeah, Marcy and Jamie are great.
They're awesome. They're awesome. And then the Laughing Skull was right down the street from my hotel, and they're awesome in Atlanta also.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of fun at Laughing Skull for sure.
This is what I find interesting about Andrew Stanley here, besides the...
We haven't covered any of the interesting stuff.
Besides the stuff I listed before, I find it very interesting that you're very white.
Yeah, I'm like the Killers guy.
And you look like the Killers guy. And you've never been in a deli.
Nope.
This is amazing to me.
Delis are like a white person thing. Are they? Is there a stereotype for delis?
Probably Italian.
Oh,
we had a lot of Jewish delis out here too.
Okay.
All right. I'll have to see if there's a... Oh, that's... Andrew is the son of a preacher, yes?
Yeah. Yeah, come from a long line of preachers.
I am the son of a preacher also. We're fist bumping here.
Yeah.
Your dad's a famous preacher, yes? Or your grandfather?
They're both pretty well known. My dad's on, he's got several campuses in Atlanta and a lot of kind of satellite campuses all over, and he's on TV. And my granddad is big, probably the biggest like Southern Baptist preacher. He used to be the
Oral Roberts?
He was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Okay.
So he's loving what I'm doing now.
No. It's not Oral Roberts?
No, Charles Stanley.
Okay.
Dr. Charles Stanley.
My dad's friend used to call Oral Roberts Oral Bob.
I don't think I know who that is.
You know who Oral Roberts is?
I'm not a very good
Your
Southern
dad's
Baptist.
A televangelist. I don't think Oral Roberts is.
That's a bad word. We're not supposed to use that. That's like not a bad word.
Is it a bad
I feel
word
like
now?
That word has a lot of negative.
Because that's, it should.
Yeah, I know. They're not asking for like money and stuff on there. I'm not going to try to defend TV preachers, but it's different than what you think. He is different than what you think of when you hear the word televangelist.
Okay. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being... my dad, and 10 being Joel Osteen.
Oh, I don't know your dad. My dad, he comes on after Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
He's got
a good lead in numbers.
So like my friends are like at a bar and Saturday Night Live is on the screen, and then next thing you know, it'll just be my dad like preaching in the bar, and I get pictures every weekend of my friends in the bar with my dad in the back. They're like taking shots with my dad in the background preaching.
That's fantastic.
About peacefulness or something.
Oh, that is great.
About being wise, making wise. It's probably, he's preaching about making wise decisions.
Yeah, I did in high school church a few times hungover.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
My dad said that he used to skip church when my granddad was preaching. Mm-hmm. He would go to the Varsity in Atlanta and watch it on the TV with his friends, so that if my granddad asked him questions later, he'd be able to answer.
Oh, that's
but he
hilarious.
Also could still hang out with his friends at the Varsity.
Well, I also got it down to a science to where like church was an hour and a half, but my dad didn't go on until like didn't take the stage until like the hour mark.
Yep.
So I knew I had like 45 minutes.
Yeah, he got the light at like 40.
Yeah, I knew if I got in around, let's see, if it went from 9:30 to 11, I knew if I got there around 10:30, I could catch most of it. And yep. If I got quizzed later.
That's the preacher's kid strategy.
Absolutely. Just get in for the last prayer.
I got burnt out. There was a point in high school when I would go to the early service to watch my dad. Then I would go lead a middle school small group. So I'd sit through their whole thing. And then the afternoon, I would go to the high school. So I'd go to like 3 services on a Sunday, and nobody should do that.
I've been doing a joke about it lately. I've been prefacing a joke that most religious people hate, but I preface it by saying I went to church 5 times a week, which is Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday evening, Wednesday night prayer meeting, Thursday night, Friday night youth group. And then I do a joke about lock-ins, which
that's
only
much.
Works in the South. Yeah, it was way too
much.
That's
too much of anything.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, there's nothing you should be doing that many times a week.
Seriously.
Even though we have to do that for stand-up, it's probably not healthy.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not. That's it's not.
But
you retained your Christian values.
Yeah, doing a lot of church comedy.
Doing a lot of church comedy. This is where we want to talk.
Yeah.
This is why I wanted you on here. Not because you're funny.
No, yeah, because I'm unique. No, I started in the comedy clubs, and I really wanted to start in comedy clubs just because I knew that I needed to prove to myself that I could do this before I just started doing church crowds, which I didn't.
Which you would be,
I assumed they
would
be very
preaching
forgiving.
To the choir.
Yikes. All right. But yeah, pretty much. So I started in comedy clubs and then started getting opportunities in churches because of my family and connections and growing up in that world.
Nepotism and Christian comedy.
I get a lot of nepotism work,
yeah.
Which is great. I've kind of had to learn to just accept that. And
the whole thing's nepotism. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You get booked because you know people.
Yeah. I've had to tell myself I can get my foot in the door maybe because of my name or whatever, but if I don't deliver, they kick me out just like they would a comedy club.
Really?
But yeah, I mean, if you're not funny, the churches, they're going to be generous for 5 minutes, but
yeah.
If I'm doing 30 minutes or whatever,
well, yeah,
they don't stay generous.
Like I said, Christians, they're known for their sense of humor, so.
we have a strong reputation, yes.
Wow.
But no, the church gigs are fun. Some of them are, it's just like anything, some of them are great, some of them are terrible.
And are you doing it in the sanctuary?
It's all different. Sometimes, the thing I do most commonly will be like a volunteer appreciation night where they get like all their volunteers out just for like dinner and a thank you. And then they have me do like 30 minutes of entertainment. And sometimes it's in the church. I just did one this past weekend that was in Jacksonville that they rented out the Florida Theater, which is like this amazing old, nice theater.
Oh,
so
wow.
Sometimes it's in really cool venues, but a lot of times it's like in the sanctuary. And sometimes if we're doing that on like a Sunday night, they'll be like, hey, can you come Sunday morning and do like a little 5 minutes in our service?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I get asked to do that a lot, and I always tell them, hey, this is a bad idea, but I'll do it if you want. I need to have said that
right.
This is not gonna, and there's just a low kind of ceiling. Like, it can go well, it goes well, but it's not
really, most churches
it never
I've been
fits.
In have high ceilings.
Yeah, stained glass comedy. Yeah,
you can use that next tomorrow night in Fresno.
Yeah, perfect.
So you go to a Sunday morning service, and we'll do 5 minutes between the communion and the prayer. What do you
do? Well, I mean, I'm doing a lot of these air quotes cool churches, you know, where it's not like what a lot of people are thinking. It's not like velvet pews and stained glass.
Well, it's not like what I grew up in, which it's sent probably me running not the other way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll say this. I do some of these churches, especially kind of the older ones, the more traditional ones, and I sit there. I spend, you know, a day or 2 days with them, and I leave just being like, oh, if I grew up in this church, there's no way I would still be doing stuff.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. Yeah, but mostly I'm doing these churches that, you know, have, you know, the black ceilings and the cool stage and great sound, and mm-hmm. the bands are real talented musicians that could be doing other stuff. And,
right.
So it usually is fine. Usually they'll have me come up like after the music while the energy is still kind of high in the room, and then I'll like bring up the pastor. And I have to remind myself I'm not bringing up a comedian. Like, I don't have to be like, and give it up for your pastor. Like, I did that one time, and the pastor, as I was leaving, she just looked at me and was just like, I think I liked that. Like, I think I liked being brought up to applause.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You said pastor and then referred to her as a girl. I'm sorry, you must make
did I
a mistake.
Just now?
Yes.
There are more female pastors these days.
What?
Yeah.
That would have never flown in the church I was brought up in.
Not so much, yeah, in certain denominations. But my sister's actually in seminary right now, so yeah. She's studying. I'm not exactly sure what she wants to do, but more women getting involved in that stuff.
My good friend John and Tammy, their husband and wife, they're both ordained ministers, and I always give them shit about, oh, it's cute that you still think you can do that.
Oh, yeah.
As a girl.
Yeah, it's like my buddy grew up, his dad was an emergency room surgeon and his mom was a nurse. Mm. And he would always go, he'd ask his mom a medical question. He'd be like, Mom, what does it mean if this is happening? And she'd give him an answer. And then he'd just go, Dad, is that right? And drive her crazy. So probably same thing.
Now, one thing I respect about you is you don't, whatever, and I, look, my listeners know my background. I think you and I have talked, you know my background. I was brought up super born again, religious, really lived in a Christian bubble for my first 18 years of my life. I mean, I really consider my life the Truman Show.
Oh,
I don't know if you're familiar with that movie.
Yeah.
Where he just lives this whole life, but it's really just this giant.
Yeah. Bubble. It's just everything's being orchestrated.
My life was pretty much the Truman Show. So,
so everything's all about you.
Yeah. Everything's about me. It's my show. Shut up. So I would be in what the Southern Baptists would call a backslider.
Nice.
Which is...
yeah, that's one of the terms.
Yeah, which is somebody who was involved in the church, but is not anymore.
Yeah, growing...
backslidden into his sinful ways.
Growing population of backsliders.
Yes. So they know my background.
Yeah.
So know where I'm coming from these church things. But I forgot why I went off on that tangent, because I was going to ask you... Oh! But what, so I've like, I remember I,
you're going to say why you respect me so much. I think
no, yes, but not yet. I will randomly tweet out and I don't do it a lot because I realize these jokes that I'm doing are really just thinly veiled shots at my parents.
Yeah.
So I try not to do it a lot, but I saw the last time I tweeted something out was I saw there was, this show in town around here called Guiltless Comedy, Comedy for the Catholic.
Not sarcastic.
This is a show that is, and they called it guilt. And so I, in response to that, I tweeted out something like, you know, if you have nothing says I'm more afraid of outside thinking and other people's views on life than having comedy in a church.
Yeah.
And I got a backlash from a couple of guys who I didn't realize did Christian comedy, but I still stand by it.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say about you is the set you did at the Rec Room last night will be the set you're doing at that church tomorrow night,
same
or close to.
Yeah, and that's been my goal all along. That's why I wanted to start in the comedy club, because I wanted to learn how to be funny first.
Right.
And then do that kind of through my voice. Saying that, because it's, but yeah, and that's kind of how I am as a person. I think everybody should write the way that they are. If you're if you're cursing a ton and doing crazy stuff in real life, then you should tell jokes about that. And if you're not, then you shouldn't. But I'm trying to write jokes that will work in the comedy club at the Laughing Skull when I'm there, and then also in the church when I'm there.
And also, your material isn't anything that you would, if you were to see it in a club or a theater or anywhere outside of a church, you wouldn't think, oh, that guy's a Christian comedian.
No, that, you know, that is not what I want people to think at all. I don't even want them to notice that I'm clean.
Right.
I want them to notice that I'm funny and then later be like, I think he didn't say the F word. Like,
you were glaringly clean last night.
Yeah. Well, a lot but of because, it is
and
in
it
context.
Wasn't your fault.
It's the context. It can be.
This was, and I loved the Rec Room, and I loved everybody on there.
Yeah, it was a great show.
But God, that was one of the dirtiest shows I had seen. And because Andrew flew in late, as we went over earlier, yeah. So I was down at the Rec Room hanging out with the Booker D and eating those fantastic. What are these called?
Buffaloed cauliflower.
Oh my God!
I only know because you've talked about it all day. I wasn't even there when you got them.
They were so good. They smelled great, so I left the plate by me so I could smell them while I was watching.
You did.
The
it
show.
Was next to you. I think someone tried to take it at one point. I'm not finished smelling this.
I've never had a buffalo wing in my life.
Yeah,
so
that seems crazy.
Well, I've been a vegetarian for a long time.
Yeah, that also seems crazy.
So anyway, those cauliflower. Next time we come to the Rec Room, we'll get the cauliflower buffalo wings there. It's spicy,
yeah,
though.
Sounds good. I don't think I've ever had. I'm sure I've had cauliflower, but I've definitely never had it buffaloed.
Yeah, it was really. But like, and like D was like, "What do you think?" And I'm like, beating sweat, like guzzling a beer. It was great. It was so good. Oh yeah, and then there was a show also. Oh no, the
you're
show
talking about
sucked.
How dirty
the
it
show
was.
Sucked. The buffalo wings were great, or the cauliflower wings were great. Now the show was great. But it was so. And I'm watching these comics.
Yeah,
literally. One dude, and I forgive me for saying this, listeners, one dude was talking about smelly pussy for like 10 minutes.
Yeah,
and
that.
One dude was talking about smoking crack and banging. And the whole time I'm thinking, I'm like, what are Andrew's going to do on this show?
That doesn't really... I don't even think about that kind of stuff anymore because I'm so used to following whatever. But you're right. Sometimes it does take me a while. And I'm much lower energy on stage than those guys were, too.
Yeah, it was a very aggressive. There wasn't a big crowd. There was probably only like 15 people there.
Yeah, it was like 12 or 15.
And so everybody was going into the crowd and being aggressive with questions and talking about them and making fun of them.
Yeah, and I was just like, I'm not. They'd already done it so much, and I'm not inclined to do that kind of stuff anyway.
Right.
So I just kind of went into material, and I had to bring them down to my energy level. And it took me a couple of jokes till I felt like they were with me.
Yeah, no. Well, I told you afterwards. I'm like, it was like they went to a concert and they saw Metallica for an hour, and then Coldplay came on. And I know some people think that's an insult, but it's not.
Yeah.
But it's just, they're both great. It was just a completely left turn.
Yeah. It was more like Chris Tomlin. It's a Christian musician.
Oh, no, you weren't that bad.
You don't like Christian rock, Murray?
Oh, don't get me started on Christian rock. Here's why I don't like Christian rock.
Well, I don't think anybody likes it anymore.
Oh, really? Is it a thing anymore?
In middle school, I loved Christian rock.
Yeah? Who do you love in middle school?
Skillet.
Never heard of that. I'm way off this. I'm way
off.
All
the listeners right now, look up the band Skillet and tell me that it's not, you wouldn't have loved it when you were in middle school.
Okay. Oh, I remember, because we used to have to go to, this is how Christian my upbringing was. We weren't even allowed to listen to Christian rock for a while.
Yeah, see, I would have been right there with you, like, backsliding.
But then I remember I had
it's to crazy
go.
It's crazy the whole like protect from the world,
yeah,
like that's such a short-term like mentality.
Yeah,
it always frustrates me. But yeah,
yeah, but there was also that whole anti-rock movement in the 80s.
Oh.
Where even in the secular world, well, I haven't used that phrase in 20 years, but because Judas Priest got had to go to court because somebody thought that their listener killed themselves to their album, so they thought they were putting in
subliminal
messages.
Oh, interesting.
So they always thought there were all these, it was called backward masking, I think. So they were, dude, I used to have to go to anti-rock rallies.
What did they do at them?
They
just played like unplugged acoustic.
No, they would play like a song on an album.
Anti-rock sounds like the most heavy metal genre. I'm going to this anti-rock concert.
No, this is where like youth pastors would just tell you why listening to rock and roll is going to send you to hell, and then show examples.
What
of
was
it.
Like? Do you remember any of like the points?
I remember two things. I remember. I want to say, and I could just be remembering this as not my story but somebody else's story.
Yeah,
but I want to say
that's like what stand-up comedy is, right?
I want to say Kiss, they had a Kiss album, And I didn't care because I've always hated Kiss. But I think that's the first time I ever heard Kiss stood for Knights in Service of Satan.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
You're young. You don't even know who Kiss is.
I know that they, yeah, I know who they are.
And then the other time, oh, and then this is, well, this is really kind of profound. And I was in like sixth grade and they were playing Pat Benatar and they were saying about, the, she has a song called Hell is for Children.
Oh.
And he's like, hell is for all the, you know, blah, blah, blah. And one of the girls raised her hand. She's like, I saw Pat Benatar in a interview and she said, Hell is for Children is a song about child abuse. And the guy goes, well, tell Pat Benatar, hell is for everybody. And he snapped her album in half.
Especially you.
Little six-year-old girl who's going to hell.
You tell, you go, gosh, what a loser.
So there
you
was
go a, tell that musician that.
She's wrong. Okay. So that there's that whole there's that whole anti-music movement in the 80s when I was growing up.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
How did this turn into my therapy and not talking about your road stories?
How did all that make you feel at the time?
Do you get hecklers in churches?
No.
Do you get a heckler, but it's mostly just hallelujah?
They're usually not as drunk at the churches. So I feel like most hecklers are drunk.
Yeah.
And there's some drunk people in churches, but not as many. And they're usually trying to keep it low key. But no, I mean, sometimes people, just like in any heckler, like people that are trying to help, and they're not as tough to shut down. You just kind of have to go back. It's usually bigger crowds in the churches too, and I feel like it's tougher to heckle in a big crowd.
Oh, because you go to the big churches?
It's like volunteer preachers. It's usually a big venue. I mean, all churches can seat at least a couple hundred people.
No, that's true.
And so most of these are like 300 people on average for like this volunteer appreciation. So unless I'm asking for participation or have like a joke where I kind of want some feedback, it's usually not too bad.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I had any specific times that happened, but for the most part, they've been good. So probably tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's good. That's usually what I usually preface everything by simply saying, hey, this never happened to me, but it's going to happen tonight.
Yeah, I do. I did have a joke. Sometimes if I do jokes that, I like to push the boundaries in the churches for sure, because I mean, I'm usually like the cleanest comedian on a lineup at the comedy club, but at churches I'm like edgy. Like if I even like allude to sex or alcohol or drugs or whatever, then that's already building so much tension in that crowd. But there's one time I have a joke about it, say something about drunk people at a wedding. And this girl goes, we're Baptists. She, like, no one laughed.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, I said some stupid line about how no one laughed. And she goes, it's because we're Baptists. And I was like, oh, cool. Thanks. Like, but, like, that's as bad as it's ever gotten. And it's just, like, them trying to helpfully explain why they didn't like the joke.
Right. Other churches would like that joke, but we're Baptist.
You do. It changes by denomination.
Yeah.
The audiences are so different. I'm starting to like learn like what set works best for Methodist. like I'm doing so much of it now that I really am like getting trained. Like, all right, this is a Pentecostal church, so I can kind of do more than I normally would.
You do a lot of act outs.
We can jump around. No, but it is interesting to see how every church, and especially by denomination, they have like different personalities. Just like comedy clubs, and
yeah,
just a different spectrum.
I don't know about that. But so I mean, are they really uptight? First of all, are you ever said, hey, listen, don't talk about a certain subject? Or
no, and I think that they just trust that I won't. I think part of it is because a lot of the people that book me at least know of my family.
Okay,
which is frustrating a lot of the times, but it does give me this like weird trust that they have for me, because they're like, oh, Andy's boy would never say something he shouldn't say. And then I start talking about stuff and they're like, oh, we should have talked to him before this.
You think people would understand the difference between a preacher and a preacher's kid.
Yeah, it's like, you know, most of us don't turn out that good.
Right.
But in churches, it is kind of fun, because if comedy is building tension and releasing tension, building the tension in the church is so much easier, because it does not take much to get them like, oh, was he going to talk about a drug or like,
right.
So it's kind of, it's a different game. It's almost like you're chipping instead of driving in terms of like how much tension you can build, but also how easy it is to build it.
Did I mention you were white earlier? Because that golf reference really drove it
home. Yeah, that was a golf reference. Okay. I don't even golf, but I'm white enough to have the references.
I'm white enough to know the lingo.
Yeah, I know all the rules.
Now, I don't, this is such a weird thing, I feel this is a weird subject to talk about, but because I don't see the difference in words and swearing and cussing. To me, they're all words. They all mean the same thing. If you say fuck or fudge, you're saying the same thing in general.
Sure.
Unless you're talking about the actual act of it, then that's different. But right. Do you swear or curse?
Yeah, in real life, I will. Yeah.
Do you ever slip at a church? Does it ever?
I never have.
Or even on stage, for that matter, because you
at
don't.
At a church. There was one time that this guy was hosting is not the best host. It was just like an open mic or whatever. And he brought me on stage by saying, "This next guy, I guarantee he will not say any curse words. Please welcome Andrew Stanley." And I was like, "Oh, what am I?" So I just got up there and was like, "Ah, shit." but
first of all, that guy's a terrible host.
Yeah, that's not a cool thing.
That's a terrible introduction.
It was not good. So, but no, I don't. I've never cursed on stage, especially at a church. I mean, and I will in real life, but on stage, I'm trying. The goal is for me to be respectful of whatever stage I'm on. So if I'm in the comedy club and I accidentally cursed, I wouldn't care. But
right.
If I was at a church, it's more about respecting the venue, the people that paid me. They're like, and they have like extreme sensitivity to what gets said from that stage, because that's the stage where their preacher preaches to them every Sunday, and they hear.
And that's why I think you shouldn't have comedy on that stage.
Yeah, it is a weird, like, and that's why churches are really nervous when they normally hire comedians.
Sure.
And a lot of times, like you said, they will have that conversation with them about like, "Hey, here, what are you gonna say? Can you type it out and send it to us?" Like,
right.
I think it helps that they can go look at people on YouTube.
Oh, true.
Like a lot of times I'll bring an opener with me, especially if they want a longer show. And I'll always send them clips on YouTube, and I like to bring comedians with me that are not always clean, but I like to bring them in so they can kind of see what the church world is like,
right?
Like comedy wise, at least, and work on their clean stuff. Because a church set is basically what you would have to do for TV.
Yeah,
you know, so I'll always send the church like a bunch of clips, and sometimes they'll go look at those comedians' other clips online, and they're like, "Hey, maybe not him."
Right.
but it's fun. I definitely learn as I go, and normally I can talk to people there before the show and kind of figure out what's going to be okay and what's not going
to
be okay.
Oh, really? See, I don't talk to the audience before the show anymore.
Well, I don't talk to the audience, but I mean like the people that are bringing me in.
Like, oh, okay.
Like the pastor or whoever is showing me around. I can get a kind of a feel for what's going on.
Yeah, the only time I ever really ran into that was doing shows for the military. And I for some reason,
because they usually like to, I've never done it, but I've heard they tell you to be clean, but then you get there and they're just like, "Hey, actually, don't worry about it."
Yeah.
And then you're like, "But also, should I still worry about it?"
Right. I mean, my whole thing is, you know, a couple of these guys watched their buddy get killed in front of them. I'm sure they've said shit.
I think they can handle.
I think they can handle an F-bomb here or there, because they can actually handle a real bomb. Like it just.
Yeah.
So that's the only time I've ever, and I have a lot of respect for the military, so I leave all my baggage at the door with that stuff.
Right.
With those places.
It's about respecting whoever's hiring you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't want to do something that makes them wish they didn't hire you.
Well,
also you got to stay true to yourself.
Well, yeah, and that's why, and I've gotten calls, people read my Wikipedia page, I think we talked about this, and gotten calls like, you know, "Hey, we have this Christian conference. We want you. We know you're a preacher's kid. We saw, you know, the stuff online I have is fairly clean."
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not your guy.
Dude, you should come do, next time I'm in California, I'm going to get you to come do like a 10-15 minute spot at the church.
Andrew, first of all, I don't open.
Well, you can,
no, just
you can close.
Close with 10 minutes?
Yeah.
It's not me.
Those aren't your goals.
It's not my goals, and it's not. It's not me.
It shouldn't be.
Yeah,
like that's what I mean. People should do what they are doing. Like, don't be something that you're not.
Right.
People. My least favorite thing. I'm in the Atlanta comedy scene, and friends with all these guys that are not doing clean material, mm-hmm. and it's not one of their goals.
Mm-hmm.
And people, especially when I first started, people would like curse in front of me in conversation, then they'd apologize, and that's like the worst feeling ever. Uncomfortable before, I'm like, don't change yourself for me. I'm sitting in the same comedy club you are. I can handle whatever.
Maybe don't wear the priest collar all the time.
Yeah, that might be it. That might be what it is. Should I take it off? Has it been bothering you?
And I don't, look, I'm not against Christian comedy or anything. I just, you know, I'm just poking the bear because,
well, there's a lot,
because I had a shitty childhood.
yeah. And there is a lot of really bad Christian comedy.
Oh, there is? Oh, yeah. So that Christian comedy is a new Christian rock?
I think it's most, well, Christians, whenever you brand something as like a religious version of something that's already good, it's probably not going to be up to like, like no matter what it is. I mean, but there's a lot of great Christian church comedians, and really they're just clean comedians.
Yeah, not, I mean, like really
church
weird.
Comedian is a weird word. Some people just do churches, and they're usually not as funny because mm-hmm. they're not going to comedy clubs to learn how to be funny.
Right.
But there's a lot of great clean comedians, but there's more not good ones. Just like comedians in general.
Sure.
There's more bad ones than good ones.
Well, I hope I'm not coming off as branding you as a Christian comedian. I just wanted to talk to you about, because I haven't had anybody on here who's really done the church circuit.
Yeah.
So I would never, and listen, when you opened for me in Atlanta, it was fantastic. Or we opened and did shows together and it was fantastic. I would never think of you as...
I have more fun doing the club shows. I promise. But the reason I could quit my day job is because of the church shows.
That's amazing to me. That is so great. And by the way, he just was able to quit his day job.
Yeah, about a month and a half ago.
So that's fantastic. That's a huge step.
Don't tell my parents.
That's a huge step. I remember when I quit, was able to quit my day job.
Yeah, and learning a lot about like health insurance and stuff.
Yeah, and the lack of it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Look, screw health insurance. I have great health insurance, and I'm still scrambling to do one-nighters to pay off copays.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, so forget about it.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for the rest of the podcast.
What, me almost dying?
Health insurance.
Health insurance? Yeah, because my listeners haven't heard enough of this already. Yeah. They're rolling their eyes like,
Yeah, Murray, didn't you have surgery? Can you talk about that?
Couldn't you have just died so we didn't have to listen to this for the next year and a half?
Listen to best ofs?
Yeah. My thing about Christian rock, we're going back to that, because music is such a part of my life.
Yeah.
Here's why I think it's terrible.
Yep.
Is... everything, and it might have changed since Skittle came around.
Skittle, who is it? It's Skillet, but I like Skittle better.
Okay,
Skittle's like their kids' version.
It was all this, first of all, rock, very loose term. It was usually very mellow.
Yeah,
and B, it was always everything's going to be okay. The Lord's on your side.
Yeah,
yeah. And the great thing about music is sometimes I just want to sit down and be depressed. And listen to some depressing music and wallow in it for a while. Yeah. Sometimes I want to listen to I'm angry.
Yeah.
So then I want to listen to it when I'm happy. Then I want to listen to it when I'm, you know what I mean?
Right,
but
right.
Everything was always the same.
Yeah, it's kind of the same message. Yeah. That's probably true for the most part. Yeah, it's more uplifting.
No, I'm
trying to be like, trying to think of like what a Christian song would be like that's just like more depressing. Like, it's like not uplifting at all. It's just like, well, yeah, sometimes bad stuff happens. People die.
Like, all those songs are based off the Old Testament.
Yeah, a lot of people died in the Old Testament.
Yeah, a lot of death.
A lot of weird stuff going on.
A lot of eating of crustaceans, which was looked down upon.
Yep. Yeah, they don't do that.
A lot of being able to divorce your wife when she has her period. That's a good one, too.
Yeah, do you guys not do that in California?
No, they divorce their wives for a 23-year-old.
Oh, yeah, that's better, yeah.
Yeah. What was I talking about? Hold on. Oh, who's this big... now, this guy you open for a lot is...
Is
a Christian comedian, yes.
Yeah, so he would consider himself a Christian comedian.
Okay.
But that's very intentional. John, his name's John Crist, and he...
C-R-I-S-T?
C-R-I-S-T, okay. Yes. And he did not change his last name to that.
All right.
He's actually a...
I want to see paperwork.
He's another homeschooled preacher's kid.
Oh, right. And Andrew was homeschooled.
Yeah, I was homeschooled. They probably assumed that already.
Well, I wasn't homeschooled, even though I was a preacher's
kid. You weren't?
I was not homeschooled.
Oh, were you? Okay. So you went to real school? They let you be exposed to the real world?
No, I went to Christian school for the majority of it.
That's like being homeschooled with a bunch of other homeschoolers.
It's pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, we had to go to church on Monday. Church on Monday morning and Friday mornings, and we had prayer hour and...
One of my good comedian friends' name is Ed Wiley. He has a joke. He says, I was in public school, and I kept getting beat up, so my parents put me in private Christian school, and I learned it hurts just as much to get punched by a Christian.
So who's this
John's blowing up. He's huge now. He's got he started at Laughing Skull in Atlanta, too, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
he started in the clubs. He started making these YouTube videos and Facebook videos that just blew up, got crazy popular, got shared a ton. Like he has one, like one of the first big ones, I think, was Christian Mingle Inspector, where he would be like, he worked for Christian Mingle and he would go to the people's houses to make sure they were really Christians before they let him. So he does this very cool kind of, he's a really cool perspective where he's just like kind of, it's kind of making fun of Christians to Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of says, you know, I'm still on the team, but we got to laugh at ourselves because we do crazy stuff. And so he's kind of built this brand and this personality around that. He's huge on Instagram, and he's doing these huge theater tours now all over. So he lets me come open for him. And
oh, that's cool.
It's been a blast. It's been fun to get to do some of those venues with those huge crowds.
Yeah, how big are the crowds?
His biggest one on this tour was 6,000
wow.
in Dallas.
Those are sold big numbers,
out a big
man.
Theater. Yeah, so he's killing it right now. They're on the tour bus. Going all over the country. So it's been cool just to get to learn from being on shows that size with that much production value.
Oh, sure.
Just I've learned a ton about merch and
yeah,
producing and all that kind of stuff. So
wow. But does anybody, do you ever get grief because you're not a, now you're not, since now I'm calling you not a Christian comedian. Do you ever get, because you don't do Christian material in front of those guys?
No, or? They don't care. People yeah. don't, they don't really care. And his crowd is different than like if I go to a Baptist church and do a volunteer appreciation night. It's all younger people mm-hmm. that grew up in church. Maybe they still are in church, maybe they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very relatable stuff. He's talking, and he's a comedian first, so he's got jokes about everything.
Right.
But his audience is primarily going to be kind of the church people.
Okay.
But they don't care. If it's a funny joke and you don't say the F word, if you don't offend them enough that they feel like they needed to be offended,
mm-hmm.
then they're cool with it. So I can do everything.
You never really crossed a line in a church situation?
I've got a couple jokes that some places they don't work. I have a joke where one of the punchlines is that like Jesus dies.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, I think
spoiler
I did it, I think
alert.
I did it last night. Yeah, they should have already known.
Right,
they should have
right.
already known that.
Hey, I
but
got
it's,
an idea. Turn to the back into the Bible.
It's basically, yeah, I'm not going to tell a joke, but yeah, there's some,
yeah, I
definitely
know that
some,
I know that joke. You did it last night.
Yeah. So there's some jokes where I definitely crossed the line, but then
I don't know if
I know how to dig myself out. And like okay. you've done in some of your jokes, you kind of already have the plan of how to dig yourself out
yeah,
if
yeah.
this doesn't
yeah.
work. Which sometimes, you know, the ones that sometimes don't work and you know how to dig out of them when they don't.
And sometimes your digging out doesn't help.
And sometimes the whole time you've just been digging.
Yeah. I know the joke you're talking about, and I think I disagree with you on it, but I'm not going to talk about it. We'll talk about it after the show.
Disagree with me on what?
On that joke crossing the line.
Oh, it doesn't cross the line for me.
No,
but I'm just saying that in some venues, they're like, we didn't enjoy.
Right.
We don't want to laugh at that kind of
I
thing.
I should say I have a different theory on why they don't like it, and we'll talk about
yeah.
We'll talk about it after the
Sounds
show.
Sounds good.
It's basically why I didn't like it.
Deleted scenes.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, please tell me. But no.
All right, so you're cool. going up to you're going up to do a church in Fresno.
Yeah,
That's why Andrew is in town.
I didn't come just to come see Murray and get our haircuts.
I was so excited to do errands with somebody today
because
I don't get to.
We had fun. We had a beautiful day together.
It was a really nice first date.
You went surfing?
I went surfing.
That's
the
only thing we didn't do together
because
I don't surf. I just slept in.
I was going to invite you to go to the beach, but I thought. I'll just let him sleep in.
I could have built a sandcastle.
He looks so cute in his bed. I'm going to let him lay there.
Surely you didn't come check.
Surely you didn't see the camera behind the door.
Oh, good. Yeah.
That's not
glad that this
that's
is
not
being...
illegal at all. Please nobody take me serious on
in
that.
In the South, that's all fine.
All right. So you're coming up. You're doing this church tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is this a volunteer appreciation event?
Yeah. Yeah, it's volunteer appreciation.
Man, we didn't
so,
have any volunteer appreciation days.
They just went unappreciated?
Well, I don't think anybody liked anybody each other in my church, to be honest with you.
Really? It's cool. A lot of churches are doing these now. It's cool. They have dinner. The pastor says thank you. They let me do my thing, and they send them on their way. And it's everybody from like parking attendants to people that are taking care of the babies. And
you do these massive churches. That's why.
A lot of them are bigger, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're the ones that have the budget to like have a comedian.
Sure, of course.
And, like, stuff.
No, because... My dad's church like maybe sat 200, maybe 3.
Yeah, so these churches have that many volunteers.
Yeah, okay.
Usually.
Oh, then that makes more sense.
It's usually like 200 to 500.
No, because my mom would be in the nursery.
Right. Like, everybody did everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so now there's a lot more bigger churches. So that's kind of what I've been doing a lot of. And it's interesting. Some of them, the people are great. And I'm like, I would go here. And other ones, I'm just like, I would not still be a Christian if I went here.
So what's the next step for you after Fresno?
Let me think. I've got some shows in Atlanta when I get back. And then where am I headed next? I'm all over the place. I would have to check my calendar to tell you for sure. Oh, I'm going to Wyoming at end of the month, which will be fun. In Casper.
Casper, Wyoming, for a church? Casper, Wyoming,
for a church.
Look at that. That's amazing.
In December, I think they're skiing, so I think I'm going to get to ski.
Oh, that's fun.
So that'll be cool.
Have you ever skied before?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we used to go skiing a lot. I haven't in a while, so we'll see if I hurt myself.
It's word of mouth to these churches about you?
Yeah, the work leads to more work. Sometimes I'll do these fundraisers for kind of like religious-based organizations, and there's usually a lot of pastors at those, so they'll email me or go through my website and all that stuff, and it just kind of works. But some of them are so weird. I was trying to think of like road stories. Right. Says this podcast.
It's a title.
Weirdest part of doing these church shows is that normally we have comedians introduce us at shows on stage, but for me it's like the pastor will like be the one introduced. So when I was first starting to do these, I would just be like, yeah, just say whatever, like you would for a comedy show. And now I've learned that I need to tell them what to say.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes they won't mention that I'm a comedian.
Right.
I'll have to be up, explain what I'm going to do and then do it.
Really?
It's like, I'm a comedian and here's my, like, that's the opposite of what you want.
That's like America's Got Talent introducing yourself. I'm a comedian. These are my jokes.
Yeah. The worst one was this church, and she had mentioned to everyone way early in the night that I was there. So they knew I was a comedian. Mm-hmm. But at churches, a lot of times at the end of like a service, like someone will pray, and then while they're praying, like the band will come out on stage. So when the prayer is over, everyone will open their eyes and the band's there.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle every Sunday.
At 9:45.
So she had told me that I was going to go on after she finished praying, and I thought that meant she was going to introduce me. But I guess she thought I was just going to do the ghost band thing and like just be standing there and then start. So she finished. She's like, amen. And then she just walked off. And I'm like standing in the wings. And I'm just like, I walk out and I'm like to dead silence. Just like, hey, everybody, I'm Andrew. She mentioned me 30 minutes ago. I'm a comedian. It's just weird stuff like that. And sometimes they'll ask me to like stay. Instead of getting a hotel, they'll have me like stay with someone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's always weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
I don't know what they're going to be like.
But. Oh, my parents used to do that.
They used to have missionaries come stay.
Yeah, missionaries. Yeah. And then we had a Christian juggler one time.
Oh, gosh. That sounds unbelievable.
I don't know.
What about his juggling?
I don't
made
know.
It Christian
now that
juggling?
I'm saying that, I don't know. What
he juggled Bibles.
All those other satanic jugglers I've been watching my whole life.
Yeah.
I don't know what made him a Christian.
How does a juggler have a theme? You're probably going to get a lot of emails from angry jugglers. It's like, we all have a theme, Murray.
I just remembered that the Christian juggler.
They did the Power Team. Did you guys ever have that?
No, what's a Power Team?
Power Team. I don't think they're around anymore. But they were Christian bodybuilders, and they would come to like churches would hire them to come in, and they would do this motivational religious weightlifting routine. They would like rip Bibles in. I'm just kidding.
Getting yoked for Christ.
Dude, look up Power Team.
Oh my God, this is
videos. Weird. They're like, the strength of Christ compels you, and it like lift it. And they were all roided up. It was a bit, maybe they weren't, but they seemed like it.
Oh my God, church has gotten to be so much fun. Than when
I did a gig. I did a volunteer appreciation night a few months ago, and they had a Christian motocross team.
Really?
Do stunts in the auditorium.
Whoa.
They did ramps. They were like jumping up on the stage. They literally, the big stunt at the end is they jumped the pastor. And the whole time the guy has like a wireless microphone.
A little Garth Brooks thing.
Yeah, on his cheek. And he's just like saying Bible verses the whole time. And he's like, Pastor, do you trust me? Do you trust God?
Like, oh, no.
And he jumped over him. And then it was like, here's the comedian.
Oh, man.
I was like, I'm not going to be as strange as that. But
oh, that's amazing.
They were awesome. Hire them to come to your next church thing, guys.
Yeah. Go.
I forget. I wish I remembered what they were called. Something had the word extreme in it, obviously.
I'm sure it did.
With no E at the beginning.
Extremely extreme Christians.
Yeah. So there's some weird Christian entertainment out there for sure.
Maybe they're like, instead of an X, they could do the cross games.
The cross games.
You can do your supercross Christian show there.
Yeah, motocross. But it's just
get the Skaters for Christ, and then the
There's a lot of weird stuff to discover.
One thing I've noticed about religion is they never stop trying to make it cool.
Yeah, you have to though. Like if you want to stay relevant, you have to make it attractive to new people and to kids.
I know, but
and
that's part of the 2,000 years, man. They're really running thin.
Yeah, and that's there's so many barriers to people now because there's, you know, as a country, we're moving away from religion for sure. And that's one of the things my dad's trying to figure out. Like, how do we get people to stay and to, you know, when they go to college, not lose their faith? And he just wrote a new, I'm not trying to plug my dad's book on this.
Yeah, really serious. Now we're converting the Road Stories listeners.
Yeah. But his new thing is like the Old Testament, we don't have to worry like as much about the Old Testament, crazy stuff going on. Like, so it is this constantly trying to make sure we're still relevant. And if you get left behind for sure. So it is interesting to see what different churches are doing to try to keep young people involved and not leaving. So
name checking.
So they bring in a comedian.
You name checking Kirk Cameron's movie Left Behind.
The what?
You name checking Kirk Cameron's movie Left Behind.
Left Behind, yeah.
Isn't that Kirk Cameron's movie?
I think so, yeah.
The one where the reference?
Yeah, I never saw that. We had growing up, I read the children's Left Behind books. They wrote kids' versions.
Oh, that's nice.
That were still pretty terrifying.
Well, I'm glad they attempted to do children's versions. They used to send me to the ones, it was called Thief in the Night.
For those of you guys that don't know, Left Behind is a series of books and movies about the rapture.
Yes.
And people would
tell them what the rapture is.
The rapture is when Jesus comes back, and different opinions on exactly how it happens. But in Left Behind, people like disintegrate and then their clothes just get left like neatly folded where they stood.
Oh.
And so it's like all these people wake up and all their families and people are missing.
Yeah.
And they got left behind, and it's what they do.
Yeah. I'm glad they softened it up for you.
In Christian bookstores now.
The ones we used to see.
The Left Behind series. It's only 20 years old.
We had the Thief in the Night series, which was three of them, and it all took place over Revelation. So we're literally watching people who didn't get raptured get their heads chopped off.
Oh, what?
Oh, it was horrible.
That's not even in the Bible.
It's for some reason, if you don't get the mark of the beast later on, you'll get killed.
Okay.
And so they chose decapitation to scare 5-year-olds into becoming Christians. So anyway.
Do you want to pray now?
You can see why I probably don't want to do stand-up in churches.
Yeah, it's just a big trap. The whole reason I'm here is to lure you in.
Listen, I don't want this. I don't want to end this thinking that... I'm actually going to make myself sound more like an asshole than I'm trying to make myself not sound. I don't want you to think that I look down on Christian comedy or you are less of a comedian as a Christian comic. I think you're hilarious, and so that's just it. I didn't want that to come off that way. The reason I had you on is because I think you're funny, and I like your backstory because we have a similar backstory.
No, absolutely.
And you're hilarious, and I didn't want to come off like I was, you know, look at, he does Christian comedy.
I didn't feel that at all.
Okay.
Just if you're going to do Christian comedy, just make it funny, please.
Or just do comedy.
Just do comedy,
and then if you fit in the church,
that's exactly what it should be. Don't start comedy being like, I'm gonna be a church comedian. Be like, no, be a comedian, and then if churches want you, start doing that.
Yeah, and I don't like clean comedy. I don't like labeling it because
it's
people
are doing their own brand of comedy.
Yeah,
and certain brands cater themselves to different places.
Just I don't know. Just do comedy.
Yeah.
If you want.
Everyone listening,
just do
be comedy. A comedian.
Just do comedy. Because I always say you never hear somebody leave a dirty show going, oh, that wasn't nearly dirty enough. I can't believe he didn't talk about anal sex. You know, it's always on the other side. So
yeah.
I feel like once you brand something as clean comedy, you're limiting it on both to the audience and from the performer.
Well, there's definitely like a stereotype of clean comedy is not going to be as funny.
Yeah.
And that's fair because a lot of clean comedy isn't that funny. But it's just not as cut and dry as that, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think it's as cut and dry as that because you're hilarious and you stood up with the dirtiest. By the way, the dirtiest comics. You know what I mean? Last night, and so yeah. So I don't know. Just do comedy.
That's my favorite thing.
Just be funny and audience, don't get offended if you don't like what you're hearing. Just move.
Well,
just wait,
if you don't like
what
you're hearing, you don't have to laugh.
Yeah, like, and then you don't have to complain about it either.
Yeah.
All right. So is that it? Do we cover everything? I think so.
Yeah.
We have to go pick up our son soon.
Yeah, let's go get him.
Are you going to ride the bicycle?
Yeah. If I haven't seen it yet, but if it's a normal bicycle, then sure.
What's it going to be? A tricycle?
You called it the bicycle. So I was like, is there something weird about it?
We only have one in this town. Yeah. And today is our day, and we need to use it.
Cool.
Thank you for praying for me when I was sick.
Oh,
I
yeah,
really
man.
I appreciate it. I do. I know I have my problems with religion, but I'm never against a prayer.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. I appreciate that. And your text and through the whole ordeal. Because we really only knew each other for not that long before I got sick.
Yeah, I really just knew that come November of 2018, I was going to need a place to stay. So,
Fresno booked really far out.
Yeah, they're very proactive. Churches book far out.
Wow.
So I should probably text that guy that's having surgery.
You'd think they would book more immediate with Jesus coming back any day soon.
Yeah, that's true. Everything should be so urgent.
Yeah. All right, well, check out Andrew Stanley. Do you have a website or anything like that?
Yeah, andrewstanleycomedy.com, and then Instagram, Andrew W. Stanley.
All right, and listen, I know I got a couple of actually my dad's people who went to my dad's church still follow my career and don't think I'm a horrible sinner going to hell and being a gay Hollywood tree hugger.
You're gay.
There are those also who think that. But so listen, if you want a comic in your church.
Oh, yeah. Come on. I'll do it.
And if you want a comic in your club.
I'll also do that. I'd prefer to do that.
All right. Well, me and Andrew will do your comedy club.
We'll do it. We'll do
Andrew will do
left shoulder, right shoulder comedy.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. I'm on the road. I'm a lot of November, but it's mostly just I'm rebuilding my hour, so I'm not really advertising it. So I'm just going to casinos to work on it. But the All Things Comedy Christmas Show / Toy Drive is at the Ice House on December 14th. $5 and an unwrapped toy, unopened toy, will get you into the show. $25 without the toy. And already it's me, it's Michael Rappaport, and Brenton Biddlecombe, and then we're going to add a ton of heavy hitters to that lineup. So get on that as soon as you can. And check out Andrew when he comes to your town. He's very funny. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for having me.
You want to know about life on the road? It's
booze, tacos, angry dwarves, strippers waving guns,
and
fees, fights, canceled flights, running with the runs,
and
blacklists, bounce checks, great, a bachelorette. Trunks in the front, making out through your set.
And
middle acts doing blow, more missing merch.
And
drive the rental car past another mega church.
And
juice, keys, vagina, fist, your cell phone is gone. One big Law and Order marathon.